This week in your parents' basement, we're fighting enemies to rescue our girlfriend from an enemy gang. We are not playing Double Dragon, though. We are playing River City Ransom for the NES from 1989. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is my regular co-host, Huell Hauser.
I'm Slick's girl, but I'm on your side.
And joining us today is our regular co-host, Todd Brisket.
I'm holding your city captive and Ryan's girlfriend hostage.
Oh, jeez. As always, you can reach us by email, parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. Write in and get your thoughts read on the show. You can also retweet us on the Twitters or like our Facebook page. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes and be sure to give us some stars. And finally, you can also support the show by purchasing goods on Amazon. For the click-through link and other tidbits, visit our website, www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is River City Ransom from 1989. In the late 1980s, it was really fun to punch people in the face via your video game system, and also to hit people with chains and barrels and pipes, oh, and garbage cans. While Double Dragon from 1987 first really popularized this, River City Ransom took the experience to a whole new level by mixing in enemies that drop money. This money could be used to buy items and books that would recover your health, and skills that would permanently improve your abilities. River City Ransom was more of a cult hit in the States, but it was incredibly popular in Japan, its origin country, where it spawned several spin-off games. Brisket, you nominated this game for coverage this week, so why don't you start the discussion off for us?
Yeah, this is... River City Ransom is one of my all-time favorite Nintendo games. It's not as good as DuckTales, but...
The gold standard.
It's like half a DuckTale, but
they're very similar games.
Yeah. So, are they? Yeah. This is exactly what you explained is why this is a good game. It's a bunch of high schoolers running around town beating each other over the head with sticks.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of nostalgia for this game. Like that. That's the big deal about it is, you know, collecting the money and going to town and buying donuts and coffee to increase your stats.
Oh, and sushi.
Don't forget. And sushi, yeah. So this is...
And CDs.
I considered this game more of an RPG than anything else because you are Alex and Ryan or Kunio-kun and Ricky in Japan. And you are... Oh, you're living the life of River City. You're going to the bookstore and buying those Dragon Feet books.
Yeah, well, the books do give you special abilities. I believe Dragon Feet lets you kick 3 times in a row, right?
Yes.
What are the other ones? Stone Fist?
Stone Fist and punch. I can't remember the other ones, yeah.
Punch 3 times.
And there's one that lets you use the weapon 3 times, which apparently from reading a guide on this game is the best usage. It's the best skill.
It's like Grand Slam, is that what that is?
Yeah, there you go.
It's probably the best when you're playing like legit trying to carry around a weapon. But if you're trying... I saw a speed run of this game, and what they did is all they did was save enough money to get Dragon Feet. And once you have Dragon Feet, you don't need to worry about picking up any weapons. You're just running through, and then you use your 3 kick, and it knocks down a boss. Mm. And then you scoot over a couple feet, and then you run back at him and use your Dragon Feet again as soon as he starts to get up. And he'll just keep going down. And that's how they did the speed runs.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. To just use the same move over and over again.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing why...
That is what I felt like this game was anyway. Just button mashing.
It is, yeah. It is button mashing. I love this game because it's very nostalgic. The main thing I love about it is the style and the artwork in the game. Like with the little, you're like a little cartoon character kid beating up dudes with your Dragon Feet.
I did mention Double Dragon at the top of the show, and it is the same art style for both. I believe it's the same company that makes both games, correct?
It is, yeah. Double Dragon's more of a... It's, you know, weird to say this, but it's more realistic looking.
Well, it's less cartoony. Like they
less
don't
cartoony,
have
yeah.
Giant heads and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's exactly right.
Thank yeah, and Double Dragon is clearly a more traditional arcade kind of side scroller.
It's a more mature title.
Yeah, it has young adults rescuing their girlfriend from an evil gang, whereas mm-hmm. this, they're clearly high schoolers.
Mm-hmm. In this one, they are high school seniors.
Yeah. They still get that sweet baby boy fat on their tummy.
Knocking on the door of adulthood.
Mm-hmm. Actually, in the sequel, Shodai Downtown Neketsu something or other, that only came out on Super Famicom in Japan and did not come out in America. You're still Kunio-kun, but he's a junior in high school.
Oh.
So it actually takes place a year before this game.
Oh, it's a prequel.
Mm-hmm. And guess what you do in that game? You run around Osaka punching children in the face.
Perfect. Oh, sounds awesome.
Actually, you know what? Not only that, in the sequel, kind of jumping ahead here, but in the sequel, when you're walking around town, you can just randomly beat up old people and old ladies and like these people that are just like going to work.
Yeah, in this one, you can't punch pedestrians and citizens.
You get experience for beating up an old man. You can throw them in front of the subway trains.
You drain his wisdom. That's how you get experience.
Yeah, if he's an old man, he's clearly a kung fu master.
By stealing mm-hmm. his soul.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. This game, by the way, it's not very politically correct.
Since
you're fighting a villain called Slick, and uh-huh. you're fighting gangs with names yes. called the generic dudes, the frat guys. Jobs.
Well, they are
the homeboys.
Bad gangs. The bad gangs. I actually have a list here. This is jumping way ahead here. I have a list of all the gangs and all of the enemies. I love the names of these gangs. You have like in the jocks, they wear light green. They each drop 60 cents each when you kill them. You have Brad, Kurt, Dirk, Jake, Lance, Matt, Mike, and Nick.
Dirk. Sounds mm-hmm. good.
Yeah. The mob has, of course, like Lefty, Louie, Marco, Max, Mouse, Sid, Tony, and Vinny.
Mouse.
The plague, where they wear red. They have Blaze, Edge, Mookie, Slash, Snake, Stick, Sting, and Tonto.
Stick?
Wait, yeah, how did Mookie, Stick, and Tonto get involved with the plague? It sounds
maybe
like
maybe that's if they have like syphilis, they send them off there.
I think Tonto just brought his blankets along. That's how that's how it works.
They're taking it literally. He is damaging you with smallpox. Oh boy. Well, go on. There's other games.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. There's many more. Yeah.
We have the Cowboys who wear dark blue. They drop $1.20 When you kill them, when you beat them over the head, when you beat these children over the head with sticks, they drop $1.20. In the Cowboys, you have Bart, Bubba, Duke, Dusty, Jed, Like, Mary, Marie, Shane, and Slim.
Of course, there's Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
Can't not have Dusty.
This might be a typo. It might be Luke, but it says Like.
Well, why? How did they mix a chick in there? Marie?
Yeah, Mary. M-E-R-I-E.
I don't think I got that far.
Marie. And the zombies, they wear red. You have Blade, Turk, Mojo, and Thor.
Yeah, one of the zombies beat the crap out of me in this game.
Pretty much everyone beat the crap out of me.
Yeah,
yeah.
The zombies are kind of like the sub bosses in the game. You fight them one at a time. They're kind of spread all over. They're like kind of the boss of an area.
Mm-hmm. Hewell, you just mentioned that you got the crap beat out of you in this game. I had that same experience. I struggled to know kind of what to do in this game.
I pretty much hated this game. I'll be honest.
Oh,
I did not like this one bit.
Dissension.
It was just I don't know.
Go on. Go.
Yeah.
The controls were terrible. The AI was awful. Like you have no chance to do anything. Like unless you're just mashing buttons every time you enter a screen. Mm-hmm. You just get bum rushed with chains in your face and get the weapon knocked out of your hand, and then you're on the ground, and then when you get up, you just get kicked in the face again. there's points where it's like there was nothing I could have done, and it's just like ridiculous.
Well, like any other kind of beat 'em up like this one, you always have to approach the bad guys from a vertical position. You can't go horizontal.
Well, how can I do that when I walk onto a screen left or right, and then two guys come out from the left behind me and smash me?
I think you're pretty used to handling two guys, Huel.
From behind.
Yes. Don't
they
play
close. They
just bum rush you out of nowhere. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. Like there were certain screens where
there's no preparation time.
Yeah, where I'm walking to the right, and suddenly an enemy runs onto a screen and threw a baseball in my face.
And knocked you over.
Yeah, he knocked me to the ground, and he picked me up, and he threw me, and I'm already down like half my life bar from that. And it's like, oh, there's no way I could have reacted to this.
Exactly. You're just thrown around, and two dudes come over and kick you.
Yeah. For sure.
This is a tough game. Like if you don't kind of get the patterns down of how to fight the guys, then it is very tough. I had a huge trouble with this when I was a kid. There's no way. I never beat this game as a young teeb.
I was just constantly jumping and kicking, hoping that I could avoid something being thrown in my face.
Basically, here's the strategy to kind of take on any guy or kind of avoid guys is you can run away from fights. If you're not caught in a corner, like where they're picking you up and slamming you against the wall, you can run away from any fight. When you're running around, not in a fight, you run, you double tap to do the dash, and you kind of go up and down the screen as you're running. So nobody will, like, you won't slam right into anybody.
Mm. Yeah. That's the other thing. If you are running at full speed, someone can just throw something at you.
Yeah. So if you also when you're running, so you kind of get the if you have enough reaction time, all you have to do is kick them in the face right when you see somebody, and that'll knock them down.
Yeah, no, like I said, I was always kicking, just constantly kicking.
I found using the weapons to be pretty useful. I got the chain pretty early on, and the chain has a bit of a greater reach than your your normal punches and kicks, so I found that pretty useful. Except the bosses do have a bit better AI than the normal mooks you kind of come across in this game, and they invariably would knock the chain out of my hands. Or it didn't happen on every screen, but on some of the screens, yes, the enemies come rushing at you. They immediately throw a trash can or a baseball at you, and you can't really avoid it. And I just found it. I'm kind of in the middle between you two guys. I found this fun for about, I don't know, I'd say about 30, 45 minutes this week when I was playing it. I have played this in the past. I think this game kind of really had a second life of popularity once emulators kind of took hold and NES games got popular online, because I think it went from being a cult classic to suddenly everyone could give this a try and go, oh, this is kind of, a deeper sort of side-scrolling beat-em-up than most of the other games. But I just found, beyond the combat, I also found it so confusing about where to go. Like, this is a game that really needs a map function.
For sure, yeah. It does have the faults in that way. That this is also why I love it as well as hate it.
because, all right, good. You admit a tiny bit of hate.
Just because this is an open world you're running into. It's not in Mario you're going left to right and that's all you do. This one you can go anywhere. You can go over to the bookstore and read a book. You can go to the sauna. You can go to the sauna and see some male nudity in a video game.
Oh, who wouldn't want to see that?
But the thing, you have to do some backtracking on occasion to go back and fight some boss that is back a ways in a garage somewhere. So it, you don't get, you don't, it doesn't give you any hint of where you're going. It doesn't give you a little arrow on the screen that says go this way to fight the next boss.
It's, in all indication, you're just going from left to right, but if you go from left to right too far, you're in like a too strong of an area.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're not even supposed to be there yet, and you just get the crap kicked out of you.
Oh, and also the gangs randomly switch up. Like if you leave the screen and come back immediately, you'll sometimes encounter a different gang. I believe the deeper you get into the game, like it, you'll randomly see the stronger gangs more often. Like you'll see, there's like a ninja gang,
the mob.
Yeah, the mob is like a stronger gang than the jocks, which are, I believe, the weakest gang. Just the wandering around problem, though, is it's really common with these older NES games. Like, off the top of my head, Turtles 1, Castlevania 2, Zelda 2, they all kind of have that problem where they just throw you in the world, and if there are instructions about where to go next, they're often in poor English, and you don't really have a clue. Like at one point, like a turncoat female gang member tells you, "Oh, this girl's been kidnapped by these two guys, and they're at the park," or something like that. But there's no indication of where the park is in relation to you, and like where the warehouse is, and all this other stuff. You just kind of have to wander around and hope you find it.
Yeah, there isn't even anything in the manual.
Oh, looky.
Like no sort of map or anything.
Oh, look at you reading the manual.
If I didn't read the manual, I wouldn't even know how to jump.
there's really no need to jump in this game except for in certain areas where you have to jump up on a box to get to the next screen. But
no, the fence and the railing is the perfect time to jump. Anytime there's a fence or railing in the background, the enemies can't get you.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Okay. I just beat them up. I punch them in the face.
But you can freeze them by jumping on the railing and then get in position to jump off and kick them.
Sure. Okay.
That's the only way I survived most screens.
Yeah, they do not handle the levels well, like the up and down kind of leveling.
They just stop anytime you go anywhere above them.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, you can jump down and beat them up and take their $1.50 that way. This is a game that you can kind of grind your way through. Like if you just go between one of the town screens and one of the gang screens, you can just beat the four or five gang members you'll find there over and over again for $2 or $3 and build your strength up. But
yeah, I probably should have done that.
Oh, it's so tedious, though. Who wants to do that?
Yeah,
it's tedious anyway. Yeah.
What I've seen is that people go and the strategy is to not max out all your stats, but just max out certain ones like willpower. So in this game, it is an RPG. Like I said, this is pretty much an RPG. Right, Hill?
Yeah, it's probably why it sucks.
So
he got you good, Brisky.
Yeah.
Can't set me up like that.
Fell into his trap.
There's different stats in the game, strength and willpower and stamina and all that. And when you eat food, it increases a certain stat. Yep. And what I've seen the strategy to do is just max out your willpower. So when you eat the food,
what does that control?
Willpower, what it controls is your ability to not die. So whenever you get, your health goes all the way down, there's a percent chance that you'll just go unconscious and have to start over with half your money. Mm-hmm. But if you have a high willpower, the percent goes up that you will just not die. You'll get back up again.
Really? I didn't know how that worked.
Yeah, is that in the manual? I'm actually looking.
I don't know. I haven't read the manual.
I'm looking at the manual now, and no, it does. There's a lot of stuff here in this manual. There's not a description of what the stats actually do, which
absolutely
is
not.
Somewhat odd. It does have a story section, though, which... A
lot of background.
Oh, really?
Yep. To the citizens of River City, I hold your high school captive. With my gangs of students and vicious bosses roaming the streets, nobody can stop me now. Meet my demands, or else. Slick, the meanest, most powerful ganglord in River City, has issued this ultimatum, and the entire town is powerless in a grip of fear. Fortunately, Alex and Ryan weren't in school the day Slick took it over. But now their fellow students are prisoners, including Ryan's girlfriend. It's up to our two young heroes to battle their way past several dangerous city gangs, then defeat the gang lord to free the students of River City High and restore peace to the panic-stricken populace.
This shows you what life is like in Japan. A group of high school kids can take over an entire city.
They don't have any guns.
I know, and that's the...
This could never happen in America.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's odd that there are no guns anywhere in this game.
That could have been a good bit skit.
I thought it would be a bit skit this week, but...
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't come upon that text, so...
I guess that's the only reason.
Yeah.
Listen, Brisket was busy this week. We were all busy this week.
There was actually, I was busy playing this game. Hey, guys, here's a little plug. Check out my Twitch channel and my YouTube channel where I'm playing video games live. I played some different various hacks of River City Ransom, and I played River City Ransom 2.
Oh.
Check out those videos.
What sort of hack did you play?
Oh, I played like three or four different hacks that kind of changed the graphics of the game. One of them made it like where everybody is a wolf or a pig person. I can't remember the name. I think it was called like Oink City Ransom or something like that. It was called Pig City Ransom. And when they die, they say Oink.
Oh no!
Ah, that sounds like a worthwhile usage of that person's time to mod the game
actually,
that way.
The best one I played was called Skinhead City Ransom. What they did is they made everybody bald. But not only did they make everybody bald, they kind of cleaned up all the graphics and everything was a lot more clear and smoother.
Oh, like that's good.
Clean and smooth, like a skinhead.
So they also, you know, some of them change what they sell in the stores. Like in the original game, you go to a sushi bar and you buy different types of sushi rolls. Mm-hmm. In this one, you might need to get the old bleeper out. They renamed it to the Pussy Bar, and you can order like a lap dance or or the champagne rooms and stuff.
Was
like
this
that.
Just a separate ROM?
Yeah, they're just separate ROMs.
I gotta find this.
Yeah, I imagine just from the various hacks out there, I imagine it probably doesn't take much to modify this, that there are probably editors that just let you change the game's text and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that's kind of why last week we covered Tecmo Super Bowl. I imagine that's kind of the same thing, where it's probably just there's probably just individual values in that game for team names and player names that are easy enough to change with an editor. I think River City Ransom kind of has the same thing going on with gang members and the graphics and whatnot.
Sure, yeah.
It seems like an easily replaceable kind of fill-in. Just fill in any gang or hilarious names you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's still dedication to do that with, you know, a...
Oh, of course.
Yeah, with a, you know, a 27-year-old video game at this point, roughly.
Well, these have been... So all the hacks are done over a course of, you know, since ROM started, right? So once the ROM first started popping out around the 90s at some point, people started messing around in the hex editors and messing with the values.
Back when Nesticle was a thing back in 1997. Did you guys ever use that? I think
Nesticle, yeah.
Nesticle is like the first good NES emulator, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Blew my mind, man, when I saw that at my friend's house on his 486.
Is that a Pentium 486?
Oh man, I got all the 86s. Kind of since we're talking about sequels and kind of where the game is now, since it was more of a cult hit, it didn't really attract much sequel attention, at least
in the U.S.
Yep, in the U.S. until the early 2000s. There was a remake for the Game Boy Advance in 2004, and the NES version was ported to the Wii in 2008 and the 3DS in 2013. A sequel was announced in 2002 after a fan acquired the trademark, but this unofficial continuation and other efforts in 2003 and 2011, they came and went with no sequel released. Finally, in 2013, the Canadian developer Conatus Creative obtained the license, and they began work on a sequel after a Kickstarter campaign. However, after setting a rough release window of summer of 2015 this year, there haven't been many updates about the game, which is called River City Ransom Underground, and it's currently unreleased, I believe.
Right, so this actually, the latest news I saw on this one is that earlier in September, or late August, they went up on Steam Greenlight. Mm-hmm. So for those that don't know what that is, it is Steam is the PC gaming platform like your PSN or Xbox, whatever.
Yeah.
Wii Marketplace.
I'm not familiar with the Greenlight.
Greenlight is for independent developers that want to get their game onto Steam. Steam doesn't just, let any game in that wants to get in. This Greenlight process allows people to read, basically the end users to read what the games are about, see some videos, and then vote whether, if it were to go on Steam, they would buy it or not. And this game was approved for Greenlight, which means that once it's complete, it would go up for final review by Steam to go up for sale on Steam.
Oh, cool. Kind of like a quality control measure so that you're not getting like the crappy casual games you get on Facebook.
Right, yeah.
Are you committed to buying the game? Or is it just like a vote to say I would buy this?
You vote to say I would buy this. You don't have to.
Okay. No. So it's a little different than Kickstarter where you actually are giving money.
Right. That is right.
It's not like those poor souls on Kickstarter who a lot of them apparently kicked in money in 2013, and they are now quite upset that it's more than 2 years later, and they don't have a copy of the game. And
yeah, the reading through the comments and discussions on the Greenlight page, it seems like Q5 2015 is when it's going to be released. So any month now, it'll be out.
Which I'm sure the game will probably be okay when it is released because, to me, it's not like they're reinventing the wheel here. Like,
no.
There's games that have kind of ripped off this format and have been pretty okay since then.
What I liked about this one, why I'm probably most likely going to be playing River City Underground, not only because I'm a fan of the Kunio Kun series, it's because All the sprite animations and all the variety of characters they're putting in this thing. There's so many special moves I've seen in the videos that they're doing. It looks like they've kind of cleaned up the combat, the gameplay a little bit to make it more of a final fight. Feels more like a final fight where everything's more fluid rather than awkward controls like there are in the NES.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. When I play this game, it is also with I first played it on an emulator in the early 2000s, I think it was. So by that point, I had played games like Final Fight, King of the Dragons was one I had for Super Nintendo. That was in reflection, that wasn't a great fighter either, but it was kind of fun. And nowadays, there's games like what is the one for? It came out on PlayStation 3, and it has like really stylized anime graphics.
Scotty Pilgrim?
No, it was kind of like a swords and sorcery kind of game, and it was free a couple months ago.
Castle Crashers?
No, I think it has dragon in the name. Very helpful, I know. Sorry, it'll come to me.
That one game with
dragon. Dragon's Crown.
Oh. Not familiar.
Oh well, Dragon's Crown is basically like it's a 2D fantasy action role playing game. except it actually gives you equipment that you can equip, and you can play co-op online and that kind of thing. It's pretty highly rated. It's, you know, 4 out of 5, 8.5 out of 10 that from the various online games. But, you know, since River City Ransom's release, there have been a bunch of games that kind of took what it first did and really improved on it in a way that makes it tough for me to play the original. It's not like, you know, there have been games that have improved upon Tecmo Super Bowl, but Tecmo Super Bowl is still fun for me to play. I don't get that as much with River City Ransom. Like,
I think this is a nostalgia thing. Like, it is, for me, it's still fun to play. I put in a lot of hours as a kid on this game, and I still remember how to play it. For me, Tecmo Bowl does, you know, playing it last week, I you know, I was terrible at it. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it was not the greatest NES football game for me. Well, it is the only one I've played, but, you know, I wouldn't call it a classic. I can see how people can call it a classic, but I have no nostalgia for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd heard of it. I just had never played it until now, and I guess it might be one that just doesn't hold up as far as the test of time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could definitely. Well, I just did make that argument where it's definitely nostalgia based. Yeah, Brisket, I'm with you on that one.
So, speaking of other games in the series, and
I would love to hear about the other games in the series.
So this in America, this game, this River City before. Well, let's see, River City Ransom is probably the most popular game in the series in America. Mm-hmm. In Europe, it came out as Street Gangs. Very, very classically titled Street Gangs. The other game in the Kunio Kun series that people may be familiar with is Dodgeball. Super Dodgeball or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The characters have the same style to them, and it's a lot. It's like a Mario Sports game before Mario Sports. It's you're doing super moves like throwing the dodgeball, making it on fire, and it's like NBA Jam kind of. It's like a cartoon version of dodgeball.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I've played that dodgeball game before, and that's also more complicated than you would expect because don't teams have hit points and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, they have hit points, and they have like special moves they can do. So yeah, it's very stylized, and it is, you know, it's like playing River City Ransom with dodgeballs.
And I might be mistaken, but no. Oh yeah, I'm looking it up. They also did Nintendo World Cup, which
they did. Yeah,
which is a similar odd take where it's the same art style, and except you're playing soccer, and mm-hmm. you know. They have special moves and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of sports games that came out. These are all part of the Kunio Kun series, which a little backstory, Kunio, I don't know his full name, but he was like the president of Technos, and he was the president of Technos when they started making their first kind of fighting game, which is called, what is it called? Renegade. Mm-hmm. That came out in the arcade and on various consoles and whatnot. It's basically River City Ransom Zero. You are playing as Kunio. They modeled the character after their president of their company and called him Kunio-kun. It's him in high school beating up all these other gangs. And then they made a whole series based off this Kunio character. There's dodgeball, basketball. There's Olympic-style games, you know, mm-hmm. beat-em-ups. Basketball. I already said basketball. So there's so many games in the series. I couldn't find a complete list that just listed out everything, but I counted at least like 30 games.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm not sure how you say this company's name, by the way. Is it Technos?
Technos. Let's call it Technos. Technos Japan.
Yeah, they seemingly did not adapt so well to the post NES era here.
They didn't. No, they went out of business, and the rights to the Kunio series was bought by Arc Systems, who make the Guilty Gear series, and I think the rights specifically to River City Ransom were sold to that independent Canadian developer to make Underground.
Yeah, there are actually some kind of cool game series that are kind of included here, like Nintendo World Cup. You know, it wasn't a great game, but it was okay. And they also did Huel, did you ever play in the arcades WWF WrestleFest?
I think I've dabbled.
That was by this company.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was like the first kind of good wrestling game back in the day, because it had all of the WWE characters. Well, WWF at that time. Like Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan and Big Boss Man. So, but yeah, you could definitely see they kind of definitely had the same aesthetic for all of their games. Like just
sure,
kind of
yeah.
bigger, brighter kind of characters and cartoonish kind of action.
Yeah. And
except for that goddamn Double Dragon 3. That game was a pile.
I don't know, did they oh, they did do that one, Double Dragon 3. Yeah. Okay. What was I going to say?
Well, Double Dragon 3 was notorious because you got one goddamn life for the entire game.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult, yeah.
Yeah.
There's one game in the series called I already lost it, but it's like Downtown Neketsu Kunio-kun Special, where it's basically River City Ransom in feudal Japan, and you're like run around feudal Japan, which I like that kind of thing. There's a game that came out in 2005 for the PS3, and it is, I think it's like that, what was that racing game that you were talking about? Is it Nintendo World Cup? No, it's not World Cup.
No,
I forget what it is. It's like a racing
soccer game.
It's a racing foot race game where you're running around the city, and you can pick up sticks and chains while you're running and throw them at the other runners. It's basically the same style as River City Ransom, but it's a 4-player foot race, and you're like swimming in sewers and like climbing up on top of houses and stuff. It's insanity. It came out on PS3 called, the full name is called, bear with me here for a second.
Oh boy.
Downtown Neketsu Koshin Kyoku Sureyuke Daiundokai All-Star Special.
Oh boy.
And the style of this one is different than all the others, because you're still those same little characters as the River City Ransom, same character style. But the backgrounds are all like hyper-realistic, photo-realistic buildings and stuff. So it's kind of weird to watch. It's like kind of like Little Big Planet, only you're the cartoon characters inside of it.
Oh. I mean, this company did a lot of bizarre games. Apparently, they did one game for the Game Gear, and it was Popeye Beach Volleyball. which
I'm sure they used the same gameplay as their other volleyball series.
Hang on. Popeye Beach Volleyball?
Yeah, did you have that one?
Shockingly, no. It just seemed like a ridiculous title. I was caught off guard for a second.
By the way, it came out in 1994. Like,
the height of Popeye's popularity.
I know. Popeye was not blowing up the spot in 1994.
When was the movie? Like 80-something?
Oh, my God. I think early 80s.
Oh, boy.
I want to say Popeye the movie came out in 1984.
It only came out in Japan in August of 94. And it's called Popeye no Bichu Volleyball.
Did you just make that up?
No.
Popeye no Bichu Volleyball.
Yeah, I'm looking at a screenshot here. It looks like, you know, it looks like it would be the same gameplay style as their other volleyball series.
Yeah.
Popeye, so maybe it was popular in Japan,
they just
at the time.
Reskinned it. That is probably, it's probably true. It didn't. It might not have taken off until the late or the mid '90s. Because I remember I watched a lot of Popeye back in the late '80s, early '90s. Maybe they got my leftover Saturday morning cartoons there in the mid '90s.
Mm. Yes.
Well, it kind of looks like, by it looks like their final kind of American games were released in 1992. It looks like. They had a game that I remember from the Pizza Hut near me, the Combat Tribes, which was kind of the same arcade brawler-ish, but it had that 1990s aesthetic where they were like, you know, cool bad dudes who were...
Cool bad dudes.
Yeah.
Tank tops.
The fighters were named Berserker, Bolova, and Blitz.
The Killer Bees.
Yeah. But that was the last game that they released for the Super Nintendo. And from there, it looks like they had 8 games that were Japan only from 93 to 95. And this will shock you, but their decision to go all in with Double Dragon for the Neo Geo did not turn out so great. Like, that's one of the last games they released. That and Super Dodgeball for the Neo Geo and something called Voltage Fighter Gao Kaiser. I'm sure I'm pronouncing
Gao Kaiser, yeah. Oh, Voltage Fighter, yeah. it looks like it's based on some anime.
Old Volty.
It says right on the cover, 186 megs.
That's so important.
That's big, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know it's good.
A lot of megs.
It's megs in that thing, man.
Right, hold on.
It looks like a straightforward one-on-one fighter. Lots of girls in skimpy clothing. Lots of girls doing panty shots and when they're high kicking.
That's not the kind of thing I care for in my fighters.
So a fighting game then.
Yeah, so it's basically every fighting game.
Sure.
Well, except Primal Rage. But that's only because that game was all dinosaurs and
Well, that game was full of full frontal velociraptor female nudity.
I mean, it's similar if you're a furry. That's the game for you.
Well, and you know, the apes were nude, and eventually apes evolved into humans, so...
Not in my America.
It's kind of like how, you know, if you have too many grapes, you can get drunk, because they eventually turn into wine.
I don't know what kind of rhetoric you're spewing here.
As Mitch Hedberg said, I once saw a wino eating grapes, and I told him, you have to wait. Well, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add about River City Ransom?
For as much as I didn't like, as happens often with these classic games, the music was very fun.
Yeah, jaunty little tunes.
So I was jaunting and bipping and bopping.
Oh yeah, it's bouncy.
Maybe that was part of it. Like, it was so hectic that I was just like flipping out and couldn't control myself.
Can't control your limbs. You start dancing. Yeah.
My thumbs were going crazy.
The only thing going faster than your thumbs were your toes. Just tapping.
Tapping, tapping and bobbing.
Tip, tappity, tap. Brisket, what about you? Any closing thoughts here on River City Ransom?
Well, real quick, one thing. On the third floor of River City High, when you're fighting, you fight the sub-boss twins, the mini-boss twins, Randy and Andy. It plays the Double Dragon theme song.
Oh.
Oh, nice. Doesn't, now according to Wikipedia, isn't the end boss in this game from Double Dragon?
Slick? I don't know. Is Slick in Double Dragon?
Where is this? I'm not sure if I saw it in, there is a guide for this on a game FAQs, which is pretty much the only guide you need, since it's very in depth and it tells you what all the items do and kind of gives you a plan to go through it. At least according to that guide, the end boss is actually from Double Dragon. Let me see if I can scroll to it real quick here. The feared Slick turns out to be Simon from the Double Dragon games.
Oh. Reveal himself as such, or is it just the same model?
It could be either one, given how much this company likes to reuse characters.
Now, I did have one more question I forgot. For those who've actually played through this, probably just Teeb, is there ever actually a ransom?
So,
or are you just punching your way to the end?
This is the great mystery of River City Ransom.
Still plagues us today.
It still plagues us today. If you go back to the original ransom note, it goes like this. It says, "I hold your city captive and yes. Ryan's girlfriend hostage. With my gangs of students and evil bosses, nobody can stop me now. Meet my demands, or else. P.S. Alex and Ryan, if you interfere, you'll be in for the fight of your lives." From Slick. So there's a couple of questions that come out of this. First of all, he did a postscript addendum before he even signed his name.
Yes. Now that could be just a mistranslation. We don't know. Yes.
Secondly, what are his demands? He didn't make any demands.
All of them.
It says meet my demands or else. What?
maybe that was a second letter to come later, and Ryan and Bill or whoever it was couldn't wait. They couldn't wait.
They ain't got time to bleed or to wait for ransom letters.
Their ladies were in trouble.
I guess that might be true. They were just like so amped up because they have this primal instinct of their property being taken, which is Ryan's girlfriend.
Their rightful property.
They legally own her. So they got so amped up, they didn't wait for the secondary note that is maybe his demand was I just want to take you guys out for to go see a movie.
Yeah,
want to take you guys see a movie. I just wanted to be friends with you guys, but. Alex and Ryan, in their rage, their blinding red rage, run through the entire city, killing other children.
Maybe I do like this game.
Now, Huel, you said ladies, but as Todd mentions, there's just one girlfriend still in this game.
Yeah, it's Ryan's. Yeah, oh, Alex is the third wheel in this thing.
Oh, no. Oh, the poor bastard.
Yeah, they couldn't even be bothered to throw in a girlfriend for him or a boyfriend, you know.
Well, didn't the note say there was multiple?
No, it says I hold your city captive and Ryan's girlfriend hostage.
Oh, well, there you go. Sorry,
Alex. You don't know which way Alex swings. You can't make judgment calls like this.
Yeah, maybe he likes Ryan and is willing to help him, although he would want the girlfriend out of the way, so that doesn't really work.
Maybe he's hoping them interfering will
result in her death
to Ryan's girlfriend.
Yes.
Are they
brothers? And then he'll be there to soothe Ryan. He'd be able to caress him down.
I mean, they're not brothers, correct?
I hope not. After that story.
I know. I mean, it's Japan.
Well, they have different colored hair, so they're obviously not brothers, right?
Yeah, they're not. If Game of Thrones has taught me anything,
yeah,
you can't be related and have different colored hair.
That is solid logic. Yeah, it is.
Yes, that's it then. that opened a door, a bigger door than I thought.
I know it opened a door into all of our psyches, really. Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to add on River City Ransom here?
No, this is, I encourage anybody that has not played this to go check it out, just because it's something to put your eyes on for a few minutes at least and punch some dudes in the face, some
it
children.
Is something, yes, it is something you can look at. I will agree with that.
you just described practically everything in human existence.
Something you can put your eyes on.
Just something you can drink in. All right, then, let's move on to the email portion of our show.
Let's roll the emails.
Now, Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did in fact check earlier today and received one email. This is from ScooterButt42.
Oh, Scooty.
So they write in, "Dear YPB, man, some people are so rude. I was simply minding my own business and following my hunger to try to find some food. I found a great place, but then the motion detection light in the backyard went off and the guy that lived there came out to chase me off. The nerve of some people. It got me thinking about motion detection in video games. Do you think they're any fun or just a waste of time? At least Huel is still pretty great. Loyal listener, Scooterbutt42.
Now, Huel, I was worried there because...
Oh, really?
It looked like we were going down a cul-de-sac of misinformation and distraction, but then he did tie it back into video games.
Well, we walked right around that cul-de-sac and back out on top.
Yeah, we took a 360-degree trip, and we ended up in a good place that I agree with.
Could be the very cul-de-sac that he was looking for food.
Oh yeah, that he could have found some bacon grease in or something.
A nice cold meal.
Yep. When it comes to the motion sensor games, I found them kind of fun to play for about 30 minutes on the Wii. And then I was like, I'm done with you, Wii Sports.
Yes.
I'm good.
I completely agree. They're nice little time wasters. They're fun at a party, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm someone who kind of likes playing the sports ball, getting out of the basement and going to the park and shooting some hoops. So what? I don't mind doing that. And really, the only good Wii Sport is Wii Tennis. So.
I like bowling. Bowling.
Oh yeah,
I think there's a lot of bowling enthusiasts. If we're just talking Wii Sports, I prefer golf myself.
Now, yeah, both of those are really good. Tennis is like middle ground.
But has there ever been another motion capture game that you've played for more than 5 minutes besides Wii Sports?
Well, there are a few. I pulled out my Wii to show my son, Sonny Boy, the other day. Because it was just sitting in the closet unused, and he's always wanted to play Minecraft. And I was like, let's try something else out here for a few minutes, and pulled out my Wii to show him. Stripped it down out of the closet. And so we played a little Super Monkey Ball on that one. And so Super Monkey Ball is fun with the motion controls.
I've never played that one. I've never played with the ball on the Wii.
Yeah, those monkey balls are like flying all over the place. They're like zooming in, hitting you in the head, and hitting those other monkeys in the head. So, slapping all around.
Do you have to swaddle the nunchuck or anything, or
you have to cradle it?
Okay,
so it's just lightly.
Lightly, you don't lightly. Want lightly, lightly.
If you grip too hard, I mean, it just doesn't work.
I will say this, the fact that there's that motion control in the Wiimote, I feel like it screws it up for every other game. Because it just, when I would try to play even Tetris, they have a version of Tetris on the Wii, and I played it because a couple of my friends had it, and you could network and play against one another. Just the normal controller just feels kind of slippery and small, when you hold it like vertically to try.
It's like holding a baby control.
Pretty much.
You can hold it sideways, almost like an NES controller. That'll probably work for something like Tetris.
No, that's what I was doing, and it just, I don't know, it just didn't have any heft to it. I kind of am used, now that I'm a grown person, I think we've mentioned this on previous shows, like the DualShock controller feels like it was made for an adult, whereas, like, sometimes when I go back and actually try to play, like I do have my Super Nintendo hooked up from time to time, that controller just feels so tiny in my hands now. Feels like a controller for little baby boys.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's perfect for my 5-year-old son.
Mm-hmm. Now, Huel, turning the question back on you, do you play any the motion games?
Well, like 90% of the country, I did have a Wii. Or still do.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the games I played on that were like normal Nintendo games. Like the motion control was limited. And I guess I agree with you guys. Wii Sports is one I go back to a lot just because it's fun. It's just like a quick game.
Mm-hmm.
But I also got a Kinect for the 360. And that thing is a piece of crap. I don't like the whole full body thing. It just doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm.
Think we're just not quite there yet with the technology.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it as a stepping stone, and I don't know if it's any better on Xbox One, but we're just not there yet.
You know, Microsoft kind of went really heavy after that. Like, PlayStation kind of tried to do the...
Was even worse.
Yeah, but as a result, they just kind of gave up on it sooner.
Yeah, they dropped it.
Yeah, and Microsoft stuck with it, and I feel like they're still trying to do it, and there hasn't been much interest in it, I feel like. I feel like it would take, like, one killer game to really get people into it.
Yeah, I think it's all niche games. Like, I think the biggest sellers on Kinect are the dancing games, and there's a whole underground of dancing game communities.
And I've played them. They're fun, but it's another just, like, one-off pick up and play, you're not going to play it for weeks kind of thing.
Yeah, and also, like, one of my friends has, I think it's Let's Dance for the...
Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah, they have that for the
Wii. I mean, I've heard.
No, I played it once. I was horrible at it because I can't dance. And but it basically just seemed to track like the motion of the controller. You don't actually have to dance. You can just sit like in a chair and just wave the controller around.
For the Wii, yeah. But
the Kinect is full body. Yeah,
yeah, it senses everything.
I feel like if there's going to be a game changer, it's going to be like the Oculus Rift thing.
Probably.
You bring up a good point, which is that playing these motion games, for example, bowling or golf or those other ones, you don't have to get up and do the full body movement. I just flick my wrist when I'm doing bowling and get a strike every time.
Mm-hmm. Slouching
down on my couch and just flick my wrist.
A friend who was famous for that. He would just golf, just like laying backwards.
I feel obligated to go through the motions of standing up. I play with honor. Like when I had a power pad, I didn't just kneel down and use my hands on it.
Smash it.
Yeah, I ran on it, and I made every goddamn thing on the bureaus fall off. I made every book fall out of the bookshelf because I needed to beat Rabbit. So.
Yeah, you have honor.
Clearly. All right, well, moving on. Next email, Mr. Brisket, did you get any emails this week?
I just had that one note from Slick that we already read and thoroughly analyzed, but that's about it.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I got one email this week. Hey, guys, congrats on show number 20. What's your favorite 20-year-old game? Chrono Trigger, Command & Conquer, Heroes of Might and Magic, or Beavis and Butthead in Virtual Stupidity? Sincerely, Gigi Hadid.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad they gave a list, because I wouldn't have known off the top of my head here. Of those, I guess I'd have to say Command & Conquer, because I did not play any of the others.
After I got this email from prestigious supermodel Gigi Hadid, or just someone with her same name.
Coincidental same name.
Yeah. It's a very popular name, I'm sure.
Very common.
Yeah.
I think I have a neighbor named Gigi Habib.
It's in my 7th grade class.
Yeah, and she just happens to be 20 years old. That's probably why she had this question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think from that list, it has to be obvious what my choice is, which is Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a fantastic RPG, deep storytelling, thorough combat fighting systems. It's an amazing game. One of the best Super Nintendo games of all time.
That is definitely my pick as far as game quality. But I did look at the list of games from 95, and there is one that you know, Chrono Trigger has my head, but my heart probably belongs to Earthbound, which
you didn't mention that in your list.
Yeah, come on, Gigi.
Earthbound is my favorite SNES RPG. Well, I have to say, after
you just said Chrono Trigger was
no, it is one of the best. It is one of the best.
Okay,
top three RPGs on Super Nintendo. Here number one, we have Final Fantasy VI. Number two, we have Earthbound,
mm-hmm.
aka Mother 2. And number three, we have Chrono Trigger.
Ah. Not even Secret of Mana.
No, not even Secret of Mana. No.
Peace.
There.
Well, I, you know, if I was writing the email, I would have included that game. But I didn't write that email, of course.
Yeah, I think
clearly.
Yeah, Gigi probably is not exposed to Earthbound as much as it's kind of an underground game, kind of a, you know, secret, kind of a secret that we like to keep.
Well, she's young, so
she was a much bigger Beavis and Butthead fan.
Yeah, 1995. I was looking at the list of games released. It was kind of a weird time because the PlayStation and Saturn were out, but they kind of weren't really established. So you kind of have like a weird middle ground.
It's pre-N64.
Yeah, pretty much. Like there was a bunch of really good RPGs that came out that year. Like beyond the ones we've already mentioned, Suikoden.
Suikoden?
Yeah, came out.
That is a solid RPG.
Yeah, that was probably the first really good one for a 32-bit system.
Yep.
Phantasy Star 4 came out for the Genesis. And really, it might be the only decent RPG for the Genesis, in my biased opinion. Mm-hmm. And Warcraft 2 came out for the old
PC. Not really an RPG, but it's a great game.
Yeah. The rest of the stuff, actually, Donkey Kong Country 2 came out. Comic Zone passed the game we covered. And Super Mario World 2, which had that goddamn crying baby, that came out too.
Mm-hmm. I love that game. I think that one's very polarizing. Maybe we'll go off on a tangent later, or maybe even cover it later, but I love Yoshi's Island, even with the crying baby.
It is on the potential future game list. It's in the hoppa.
Yeah.
So, oh, and Mortal Kombat 3, everyone's favorite.
The one I didn't play. I stopped at 2.
Yeah, everyone stopped at 2. No one played 3 unless you were a real junkie. Unless you really wanted to use that run button. By the way, I did look. There was a good review of Beavis and Butthead in Virtual Stupidity on IMDb.
IMDb?
Yes, of all places. The review reads, "This is a great Beavis and Butthead game. This game has comedy and, believe it or not, some real-life situations. The game is about Beavis and Butthead and they want to be a member of Todd's gang. They will do anything possible to become members. If I were you, I would buy this game."
And I'm convinced.
That's the review.
Sweet. Let's add that to our list.
Might as well.
I don't know. It does not have Scottie Pippen in it, which frankly is concerning to me. It's no Scottie Pippen's Puzzle Challenge.
Yeah, what's the point then?
It's no Al Unser Jr.'s racetrack challenge.
Al Unser Jr.'s zooming car vroom vroom game.
Oh, wait. No, sorry. It's Al Unser Jr.'s turbo racing. That is a real game.
Oh, there you go.
I now have to clarify which games are real. Since, unfortunately, Scottie Pippen's Puzzle Challenge only exists in our mind so far.
Oh, don't pull back that curtain.
I'm sorry, Huel.
Ugh.
This isn't Fight Club. Oh, damn. Now I just spoiled Fight Club for everyone.
Did you? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
That applies.
But Fight Club the video game, probably not worth checking out. Just going out on a limb there.
Yeah, they did make that.
Yeah, Fight Club is a video game. It's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the Space Jam video game, which should have came out, and I don't think it did. So, anyways. So, anything else from you, Todd Brisket, before we sign off here?
No, it was lovely chatting about these children on children violence in Japan.
I agree. Child murder is always a good topic for a video game. Huel, your closing thoughts here.
Just wanted to say that the rumor's true. You're one tough dude.
On that note, there's no better way to go out and to segue into our snifferoo here of next week's episode.